We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This is the CHGO Cubs podcast presented by PointsBet. Use code CHGO when you sign up to get two risk-free bets up to $2,000. Good evening, everyone. My name is Corey. I am joined, as always, by Brendan. And we are here as your post-game crew tonight. Cody Delmendo was in the bleachers tonight. The vibes were immaculate, and he brought home a massive...
He did. He did his job, Corey.
15-7.
I know.
In bullpen, it was a little more lopsided before the end of the game there, but we probably won't touch on that too much. We will be joined by our guy, Ryan Herrera, live from beautiful historic Wrigley Field at some point. But Brendan, I mean, the Cubs win a series, so that's always nice. And they do so in big fashion tonight.
They do.
We have plenty to talk about from the performances that we saw tonight, whether it was Patrick Wisdom, a two-homer night and a grand slam onto Waveland Avenue. Christopher Morel, a huge night in the nine-hole, continuing his good work after being dropped in the order. Kyle Hendricks, another quality start. That's two quality starts in a row for Kyle Hendricks. I don't imagine you want to talk about Kyle Hendricks, though. You don't.
No. I'm just kind of sick of talking about Kyle Hendricks, Corey.
Yes, and as if you are watching us live on Twitter, come on over to the YouTube so that we can read your comments. If you are listening on the podcast feed in the morning, good morning, happy Friday. And yes, as Katie says, two consecutive series wins. Nick in the YouTube comments, Brendan is indeed flying the W.
I am.
If you are listening,
I got two
only,
flags here. You see the other one, Corey? What does the other one say? What does that say?
The same as my hat, Brendan. It's because the Cubs won the 2016 World Series.
World Series. Okay, yes. People do forget that.
Go.
Correct, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, normally for when the series ends, we do talk about all of the games in the series or anything going on. But I think a lot of what we're going to talk about is going to be centered around tonight. If you want to hear, Luke, Cody, and I went really in-depth on Justin Steele last night, and I know they talked about Keegan Thompson. So Brendan and I have been really digging into those two, but I don't know how much was really new, I guess, you know, that we saw from them, and we really kind of broke it down. So maybe we'll, you know, touch on them the next time they pitch. But, you know, real quick, as we always do, just setting the table for this series victory. It was a 5-3 loss in the first game on Tuesday. Keegan was really good. Did go back out there to try to get through seven, gave up a couple more runs. So that kind of skewed the line, but a really good start for him in that one. Then yesterday on Wednesday, it was an 8-3 win behind Justin Steele's five strong innings, just one run allowed, six strikeouts. Wilson Contreras with his 13th home run of the year in that game, and Christopher Morel with his first home run of the series in that game. That was his sixth. Again, that one was 8-3. And then tonight, Brendan, the game we're, you know, really going to break down on this episode of the CHGO Cubs podcast, 15-7 behind Kyle Hendricks' fourth win of the season. He goes six hits, two earned runs, just one walk, and seven strikeouts. So a really, really solid game for Kyle Hendricks. So we're definitely going to break that down. And boy, you know, normally when we do these, I always say, you know, and the Cubs got their runs in this one. It's, you know, we'd be here for like an hour, I think. If we did that.
We don't do it that often.
Yeah, it is rare that there are so many runs. The first run came across on a fielding error by Brandon Drury, hit by Patrick Wisdom. In the second, Rafael Ortega with a sac fly, and then Patrick Wisdom hit his 15th home run of the year. It was a grand slam. And I can assure you, I was not listening to the radio, Brendan, but I guarantee you that Pat Hughes demanded,
yes,
insisted upon a tape measure. As
get
that
out
ball
the tape measure
was
long gone of
onto Waveland. That made it 6-0. Christopher Morel had an RBI single that made it 7-0. Joey Votto contributed a couple of runs for the Reds. Then in the sixth, Patrick Wisdom's second of the game, his 16th of the year. This one more of the line drive out in a hurry variety. Yan Gomes with a double that made it 9-2. In the seventh, it is Narciso Crook, who we will talk about. He's called up today as Jason Hayward hits the IL with an RBI double to start, you know, his first major league hit. That's very exciting. Bottom of the eighth, it was PJ Higgins with his third homer of the year. Christopher Morel with his seventh home run of the year. And then Nelson Velasquez doubling to bring in number 15. A mouthful, Brendan. That's a lot of runs.
It feels good, Corey. I mean, the power was out. Wisdom, Morel, five hits. Crook looked good as well. So again, you kind of like when I came on this show, you're like, oh, you have two flags behind you. I'm like, yeah, I'm feeling good. I want to savor the victories as Cody always says, it's nice to win one, right?
It is nice to win one.
I got my two flags up today.
And yes, friend of the podcast, Jeff Everson, in our comments here. Got to smash that like button, folks. We appreciate it if you are on YouTube. If you hit that like button, it helps the CHGO YouTube channel reach more Chicago sports fans. So if you can take a second to do that, we would appreciate it. A lot of comments. We appreciate all of you being here. Brendan, I do. Let's start with some of the stuff that didn't happen in tonight's game. And it's because it's exciting. Seiya Suzuki heads to Iowa. He begins his rehab stint and he goes 2-for-3 with a home run, Brendan.
He does.
It was good to see Seiya playing baseball again. All the reports after the game are that the finger's feeling good. He's feeling good after going on that rehab. He had an RBI single in this game and both of his two hits, Brendan, are to the opposite field. The single was sort of a sinking liner falling in front of the right fielder. And then he hit a long opposite field home run. So that's just good news. I miss watching Seiya play and you always want these guys to be healthy, but watching him hit a homer is really great.
I mean, I think he's ready. Like, I think he was probably ready just after that home run. Just bring him up, get him to Wrigley Field as fast as possible. But before he was injured, we saw some of the adjustments he was going through. And he has a strikeout rate of 30%. That's pretty high. But his contact rate is league average, whereas the league average strikeout rate is around 22, 23%, give or take what you're looking at. So he was looking at a lot of pitches and going through that type of feeling out phase with major league pitchers. So you want to see Seiya continue to get those at bats. That way you can go through that process a little bit faster. And for him, it's just about playing time. So it's good to see him getting healthy. I want to see him get back here as fast as possible and start taking those at bats.
Yeah. And so as I noted, Jason Hayward does hit the injured list with that knee. David Ross saying that, you know, that was, you know, not really progressing well, based on our YouTube comments, doesn't seem like you guys are going to miss him. So we'll leave it at that. Mm. Narciso Crook does come up, obviously gets in the game tonight, hit a couple balls really hard.
Yeah, man.
One of them does get in for the double to bring in a run. So that's nice to see. This is one of those guys we talk about Seiya, and when he comes back, this picture is going to get really crowded and kind of interesting to see what the Cubs do there. But Crook is one of those guys who he had 9 home runs. This year at AAA, an OPS over 850 on the year, like had earned the shot. Right. And
for sure.
You know, I know you were talking to me before the game, you know, he had kind of an interesting career trajectory. He was originally drafted by these Reds.
He was.
But you know, you see him in the lineup tonight. You see Nelson Velasquez get in there late in the game. This is what we've been asking for, right? We want to see these guys. You never know what they're going to turn into, but a nice moment where a guy, you know, gets into a major league game, you know, hits those career milestones. These are fun. Yes. These are nice things to see.
Yeah, I want to see more of it. I mean, to have a night where you have Morel going 5 for 5, Nico had 3 base hits, Nelson Velasquez, Crook. So getting these and Wisdom, like seeing all these guys who could, in theory, be here for multiple years, get those chances or those opportunities, it makes it fun. And it's not to, we've talked about Hayward and other guys exhaustively at this point, but right now, given where we are, you want to see these opportunities. You want to see if the Cubs can find another Morel that kind of is breaking your projections. And we'll see what happens with, you know, Nelson Velasquez getting more opportunities and now Crook getting more opportunities, and maybe Frazier at some point here in the future gets another opportunity. His name is Jackson Frazier, by the way. Now, yes, I don't know if you saw Jackson. So Jackson Frazier. So, you know, once Hayward is apparently healthy, it will be an interesting discussion again, but hopefully
it shouldn't be, but
it shouldn't be. But as we move along the season here and the trade deadline's approaching, maybe the circumstances do change. We need to see these guys hit more, Corey.
Yeah. And you know, again, like Crook is one of those guys. So he's 26. He, you know, again, had an 885 OPS, hit 268 with a 375 on base, 9 homers, 27 RBIs. He also stole 11 bases, across 157 at bats. You know, again, this is his first shot at the MLB level. So what you're expecting from him is, you know, who knows, right? Like he was hitting at AAA, you know, like a lot of guys had his development sort of stunted because of the COVID season and the lack of the real minor league season and stuff. So what you're expecting is, you know, you give a guy a shot and see if he can hit like he did in the minor leagues. And you know, that's what these opportunities were for. And as I mentioned, you know, he did hit a couple balls, I believe over 100 miles an hour tonight. So that's what you're looking for from him.
You can see the power, just like seeing him swing the bats. It's obvious he has that natural talent. And his numbers over the last 110 plate appearances in Iowa before he was called up here, really impressive. He batted .339. He had 9 home runs. And you see just the raw talent he has. Absent of the numbers, I want to see more of that. And to your point, the COVID season and the stunted development and the injuries, that makes predicting him very difficult, but at the same time, it also makes predicting him to be an irrelevant player also difficult. That's why we need to see him get more chances, right? That's why it's so important.
Well, this is what you want to see in a year like this. This is also good. I think this has a ripple effect, hopefully, for, and why, you know, when Nelson Velasquez has come up and not started, we get kind of squirrely about it, because I think there's a ripple effect to other guys in the minor league organization that they see a guy like Crook have success. He's putting up good numbers and he gets an opportunity.
Yeah, for sure.
No. Do they have him in their long-term plans? You know, probably not. Who knows, right? But this is what this year should be if they're not going to be competing at the highest level. But I do want to, let's get to Christopher Morel, because this was a whale of a night.
It was
from our guy, Christopher Morel. You and I talked about, you know, patience and just letting him work through those struggles and not overreacting to it. Cody, I know the night before they did it, was on that same page and like, you know, look, if you want to do anything, move him down, take the pressure off.
That's what they did.
Just let him work through it. They did, and he is 7 for 9 since moving down there.
It's a lot of base hits.
In the two games on Wednesday and Thursday. And the only strikeout in those two games was on a swing directly after he had fouled a ball into his own crotch.
Yeah.
So I don't count that. That doesn't count. So
no, it does not count.
In two games in the 9 hole, after that K rate was skyrocketing, he has not struck out. That one doesn't count. 5 for 5 on Thursday night, Brendan, with a home run, his 7th of the year. And I've got a couple of just like extraordinary statistics.
I love those.
For you on Christopher Morel's night on Thursday.
Okay.
From Jordan Bastian at MLB.com. He is the first Cubs player with a 5-hit game since Chris Bryant in August of 2016.
Good year for the Cubs.
That was a good year for the Cubs.
It was.
And Chris Bryant.
It was, yeah.
He is also the youngest Cub with a 5-hit game since Ken Hubbs in 1962. So that's something. then coming from NBC's Christopher Komka, Christopher Morel's five-hit game is the first by a Cubs player out of the nine spot since pitcher Vic Aldridge in 1922.
You know,
this was a special night for
a young kid. But I feel as if John Lester had more chances to bat in nice spot. Like, I don't know. I feel as if he could have done that.
Choir here, yeah. Yeah.
But Morel looked Morel looked awesome. One of the issues we talked about with him struggling in the past few episodes was that the chase rate was a little bit elevated, the contact rate was a little bit depressed, but not to degrees that signaled extreme worry. And with him being so young and his previous ability to have adapted to get to this point, to have been the leadoff hitter for what was it, like 6-7 weeks, is beyond impressive to earn Ross's trust to do that. So because he was able to adapt so well in the past year, 2 years, and just the quality of at bats and the takes I've seen from him, even during some of those struggles, like, to me suggested, you know, be patient. And currently, just right away, moving down in the ninth spot, you're seeing the result already pop up. He is so, it seems to be like he's so mature, Corey, like as a 22 now, going to be 23. Like I feel like I need to be.
His birthday was a couple weeks ago.
There you go. I knew. I thought that was the case. Yeah. But like I'm inspired. Like, I need to be as mature as Christopher Morel, the way he goes about his business. So it's awesome, Corey.
Yeah. And, you know, we talked a little bit about this last night, Luke, Cody and I, when he made that, you know, spectacular throw to home plate for the double play, teaming with Wilson Contreras there. You also saw tonight, I think it was, again, Jordan Bastian who mentioned this, but on one of the plays you saw, he has, I think he's in the 92nd percentile for sprint speed. It's not shocking if you watch the games that he's very fast, right? You can tell that. But it's one of those things where you're kind of reminded that, like, this guy has a lot of tools. Like, he is not just one particular thing. And even as he was struggling, he's still bringing it on defense and can also play multiple positions, right? Center field isn't even his best position. Right. So he is a really talented guy. And that's why we were hoping they would, you know, find a way to just let him make these adjustments. And that's a credit. You know, we questioned David Ross. You know, a lot of us maybe ripped David Ross at times, but this was a really smart move and a well-reasoned process by David Ross to say, you know what, let's take the pressure off. Rafael Ortega has done a really good job for us in the leadoff spot, especially against right-handed pitching. Let's move him down. We'll take the pressure off because he brings so much to the game. Like, we got to let him figure this out and figure this out against major league pitching. And Brendan, like, he's at 185 plate appearances. This is a pretty significant sample. And his line, Christopher Morel, after the 5-for-5 game tonight, 283 average, 342 on base with a 494 slugging. That's good for a 130 WRC plus.
Crazy.
The Cubs have a 23-year-old who can play center, third, short, second. I'm sure he could catch. I'm sure he could pitch with how hard he throws the ball.
Absolutely.
He's got a rocket of an arm. He's one of the fastest guys in the league.
The nicest guys in the league, too.
He's fist bumping umpires. He's got a great smile, 80-grade smile.
Great smile, yeah.
And he's hitting better than 30%. He's hitting 30% better than a league average hitter. Big deal.
Big deal. Got to see more of it. Once Seiya does come back and he's in right field, depends what they do with Ortega because he's been doing well as an addition. Like, I'm curious to see what he looks like in the infield for also an extended period of time. He is a natural third baseman, but he can play second base. Nico is the starting shortstop for the Chicago Cubs. That's not going to change anytime soon. So him being at second base, presumably with Bodie maybe having some time off from that shoulder, that's also going to be interesting to watch. We can learn more about his defensive utility as the season progresses here and as the outfielders start getting more chances, including, you know, Ortega and Crook and Velasquez and maybe Frazier and all those guys.
Yeah, that's I'm glad you brought that up. I did want to mention that David Bodie did leave the game. He tried to stay in there after he collided with Nico. And, you know, he did look to be favoring that. It's that same shoulder that he had injured before.
Very unlucky.
Just a bummer. Glad, you know, I mean, obviously Bodie had to leave the game, but glad neither of them were seriously injured, at least that it seemed, you know, because those collisions are scary. But just,
I mean, I almost had a heart attack. Honestly, I thought I was going to die. Yes. Yeah. I screamed at my TV.
I hope that David Bodie is okay, but I do also want to add, I really need people to stop running into Nico Horner. Players, umpires,
I'm done with it.
Please stop.
I'm done with it.
That.
Yeah.
Anyway, Bodie just seems snake bitten, man. I mean, sometimes this is just, you know, you work all that way to get back. He dealt with the dizziness stuff. It's just a real bummer, you know, that he's barely been back for a week and he's now going to deal with this same shoulder. That's a real bummer. And hopefully it's not something that keeps him out. To your point though, I do wonder, you're going to have a crowded outfield. I do wonder if, I think Madrigal is hitting or working his way back. I do wonder if you see Morel move to second for some of this time once Saya comes back, just so that you don't have to make some harder decisions in the outfield if you don't want to.
I don't know. Because if you think about it, you do have the potential, although we haven't seen it recently, to put Happ in center field, and that might allow you to play Velasquez in left or Frazier in left or Crook in left if they want to get an extended period of time to look at these guys.
Right.
So I don't know. It's going to be a tricky situation with Madrigal once he is healthy enough. I feel as if talking with you and seeing comments over the past few weeks, people don't really want to see Madrigal. Take that for what you want.
Are you getting that impression?
Yeah. I'm being very kind here, but let me read these ads here from our great sponsors. First one is PointsBet. The best way to support CHGO is to download the PointsBet app and use code CHGO when you sign up. If you do that right now, you'll get two risk-free bets up to $2,000, but that's not it. If you make a $50 or more first-time deposit, you will receive a free CHGO membership, which unlocks all of our web content, and you'll even get a free shirt of your choice from the CHGO locker. That's $2,000 in free bets and a free CHGO membership, as well as that free t-shirt from the CHGO locker, all for making more than a $50 first-time deposit at PointsBet. If you have any questions, you can email pointsbet@allchgo.com and we'll help you out. Your home for live in-play betting just got even better. See an edge in the game you're watching. Is your favorite team prime for a comeback? Don't just watch the game, bet along with it live. More live betting, more live markets, and faster live cash outs. Follow along with your bets the moment they hit and stay in the live action all game long. Download the PointsBet app right now and use promo code CHGO. So what are you waiting for? It's time to elevate your live betting game once the game starts. Don't just bet. Live your bet life with PointsBet. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants to help, call 1-800-GAMBLER and Crisis Counseling and Referral Services. Our next partner has a product I use literally every day. I started taking AG1 because I wanted to kickstart my day with complete nutrition, and I'm not a big breakfast guy. That's where Athletic Greens comes in for me. Now, I've been on it for about a month and I love it. It doesn't taste like it's super healthy. It has kind of like a mild tropical taste that I actually look forward to in the morning. So what's actually in this stuff is just one scoop of AG1, and you're absorbing 75 high quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to help you start your day right. This special blend of ingredients supports your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, your energy, your recovery, focus, and aging. All of these things. I get a noticeable boost of energy, so I can take it first thing in the morning on an empty stomach. And, you know, I took it this morning. I have energy talking to you. Sometimes, Corey, it's hard to talk with you, and AG1 allows me to talk with you without getting upset. It's lifestyle friendly, whether you're keto, paleo, vegan, gluten-free, or dairy-free, you're all good with AG1. You're investing in all-in-one nutritional insurance for less than $3 a day. It's recommended by professional athletes and has more than 7,000 five-star reviews. Right now, it's time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with a convenient daily nutrition. It's just one scoop in a cup of water every day. That's it. No need for a million different pills and supplements to look out for your health. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/CHGO Cubs. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/CHGO Cubs to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance.
All right, Brendan. So I do want to mention, as we come out of that ad break there, 2-for-5 night with 2 runs scored and a walk for Wilson Contreras. His OPS now 917 on the season. And aside from the obvious, I do just want to mention that he made it into, excuse me, the final round of the All-Star voting. So I think it's him and
go
Travis Darnot against on the Braves. So he's in that final round, which resumes on July 5th. So starting July 5th, we will all need to put in work to ensure that Wilson Contreras is the starting catcher for the National League. We saw it, the first time he was an All-Star. He deserves it. It means the world to him.
Yeah.
And we need it to happen. His brother is also in contention to get in there, and that's just a dream of his. So put it on your calendar, set an alarm, whatever you got to do. You got to vote for Wilson Contreras.
Vote for Wilson Contreras. And Corey, just his numbers this year, I got to highlight this because it's by far his best career by a large margin. Batting .283, his wOBA is .400, dude. This is a catcher. His wOBA is .400. His contact rate has spiked almost 6 percentage points. It's 73%, the highest of his career. His strikeout rate is 20%. This is exceeding my expectations. He is not catching as many innings because you have Yan Gomes, and that's what we wanted for years, to have a quality backup catcher to protect those legs. So, you know, the discussion, we're seeing it in the comments here, extend Wilson Contreras. It's getting almost obvious, like, at this point. Now, in years past, we've discussed, you know, catchers are aging, but with the DH and his ability to now be slotted in that DH role, it changes the discussion.
Which is something, you know, we saw it again on Thursday night, something the Cubs understand, and they do. We've talked the effect of Yan Gomes and stuff like that. Look, we've debated this a lot. There's a lot to debate. Even some of the comments are, a lot of you are extend Wilson. We have to keep him. I see one, you know, about talking about a catcher over 30. There's a lot to consider, right?
And those are all fair consideration points.
It's all fair. I do still land in that same place that I just don't see what the plan is at that position if you plan on competing anywhere in the near future. And I know the response to that from some is maybe they don't, but this team has a lot of talent that we're seeing despite their record. I see no reason that this needs to be a multi-year process. Maybe getting back to being a top of the league juggernaut type thing, sure. But competitive in this division, this should not be a 3-to-4-year process. That's crazy.
Yeah.
And, you know, we always talk about the franchise value and the market that they're in. It should never be that way. But I'm just looking even at the roster. So I just don't see how you proceed without him. You don't have a catcher immediately available in your system. They're very difficult to come by that hit like this. And I'm looking at the system they have right now. This Yan Gomes Wilson situation is fantastic.
I love it.
Just keep it going. Just keep it rolling.
Yeah, and Yan is signed for a few more years too, Corey. So this, in theory, can keep going.
You also really start to see it. You saw it on the throw with Morel last night. The way he reacts to that, his quotes after the game. He got his 600th hit. He wants to get his 1,000th with the Cubs. He talks about this all the time, that he wants to be a Chicago Cub with such passion. I don't know, guys, like at some point you hear that from so many people, if you don't keep any of them, I it just rubs me the wrong way. I get, you know, I'm sure Jed, there's a contract that's too much for a catcher that's over 30 or whatever. I get it, right? I understand it all, but I've gotten to the point, Brendan, over time where I'm very firmly in the, I don't really care about that and how a contract or anything like that. They should spend the money and they should keep the guy because he wears it all on his sleeve. He's having the best season of his career after you finally got him a quality backup. Just just extend the man and let's move forward and try to win some games.
To be fair with you, you know, going into the year, I was skeptical that the amount of money he wanted was worth the investment. As we saw in the comments, he's going to be over 30 years old. Catchers don't age well. Wilson's had a history of hamstring injuries. My thing was, however, if he does protect his legs through that DH spot, maybe we see his offense improve and be sustainable. Corey, it's exceeding exactly. So at this point, like, the discussion I think is, all right, well, now can his bat age well? Just given a regular age curve, if he's going to DH this much. And I think the answer is, you know, more likely than not at this point. So it does change the conversation for me. I don't see where you're going to get that value. 400 weighted on base average, substantial improvements. He's maturing. Guys love him, becoming a clubhouse leader. You know, it's worth the investment. It's a slam dunk.
Yeah, I think so. And Steven in the YouTube comments makes a point that I've made often, that if you trade away all of the guys who are performing, you know, at a above average clip at the MLB level, then yeah, you do go back to not having that talent on the major league team, and you're sort of forcing this to take longer. So spend the money. It's not our money. If the contract doesn't age well, so what? You know what I mean? They should be spending to deal with that. You know, but you got to keep some of these guys at some point. And I've worked myself to the point that you got to keep the guy, and hopefully find a deal that works for everybody. He wants to stay here, make it work. Let's talk about Patrick Wisdom, Brendan. Huge night for Patrick, 3 for 6, 6 RBIs, a grand slam, 2 home runs. He's now got 16 on the year. Overall, hitting just .232 with a .315 on base, but a .475 slug and a .118 WRC plus. So 18% better than a league average hitter, plays good defense over at third. You know, just a big night for him. He had been having a rough series prior to tonight's game. So good to see him have a big game here. And he is another one who is pretty interesting as we get to the trade deadline. You know, he is someone who I think would have a lot of value to a competitive team. I wish he had been on the Cubs bench in 2017, 2018, 2019, pick any of those years. I think he would have been a really strong depth player for them. Not a free agent until 2027. And if somebody calls and offers you something, then I would listen. But he just seems like a guy where I think you've found something here going back to last year. The sample is pretty large at this point, that he seems like a guy who, once he was given an opportunity at the major league level, he can stick. That's what we're seeing.
He's getting everyday playing time. I think going into this year, there was a discussion about a certain infielder that was signed, maybe platooning. Don't you smile like that.
I'm just thinking about Luke. You know,
you're just, no, Luke right now is in timeout. He's committed several sins over the past week. But there was discussion about maybe he should be platooning. And we had those discussions too. And on paper, it kind of made sense, but getting the opportunity to play every day has allowed Wisdom to go through that adaptive process faster. We've seen him go through different bats, different knob sizes on that bat. He talked earlier in the year about changing some mechanical things to hit high fastballs. Maybe it's something's clicking. His contact rate has bumped up a few percentage points, and he's sustaining that power in the process. So you might consider trading him, but you have to get back immediate major league value, Corey. And if it's in the form of prospects, okay, but you know, this is a guy who's in theory going to be not well beyond his age curve and controllable for the next few years. Even if he's not an everyday starter on this competitive Cubs team, hopefully soon. He's nevertheless a great option that can get 300, 400 plate appearances, potentially mix and match and play quality defense. Although I will note his outs above average, we have seen it. It's a little bit low this year for, you know, some reasons that I quite don't understand, but he's passing the eye test. I don't know. It doesn't really line up for me. And last year's outs above average was like way, way higher above league average. I forget which percentile it was, but there's some discrepancy there, but assuming he's a quality defender, which I think he is, having that bat, that potential, really interesting. Also, too, maybe he'll play some left field. We've seen him in the outfield a little bit, saw him in right field as well. So I do want to see him kind of get mixed around defensively for some other guys.
He just seems like the type of guy that as you approach the deadline, you're not going to get the value back that he's providing to you.
You assume moment, not, right? Yeah.
Like, I think you get an unexciting prospect. Maybe you put him in a deal with somebody else, but I just think like you have a guy that can hit a bunch of home runs and play solid defense and you have him under control for nothing, right? If you're concerned about the cost, it's nothing.
Yeah.
For until 2027. Like I would probably leave that alone and hope that he can be a part of whatever you're doing when you're next competitive. Cause as you just pointed out, Brendan, like he can play multiple positions, like how often you would want him in the outfield. I'm not sure. Right. But that has value and we might see that. We certainly saw it last year in 2021, but you may also see it this year when you are trying to figure out where to put all these young guys to keep them in the lineup and keep them on the team. Patrick is a guy that he can also play first base too. Like you can move him around, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. You know, I'm seeing a comment here, like, are they going to trade Ortega? Ortega kind of fits that same.
I think it's the same thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Same discussion. Now if I have to pick who do I want to keep longer term, just because you do have the defensive competence by Wisdom and the power potential, I feel as if he is more likely to be on this competitive Cubs team, hopefully in the near future here, especially with a crowded outfield that the Cubs appear to be experimenting with. If someone comes to the Cubs with a trade for Ortega, same discussion. If it's for immediate value, then I'm open to it. But if it's for, you know, guys in A ball who maybe are a year, two, 3 years away, I just don't like that. I want immediate value right now, Corey.
Yeah, we did the whole let's trade for teenagers thing. That was last time. Let's get closer to MLB ready this time. Yeah. The thing about, you know, guys like Wisdom and Ortega, like what a team would be willing to give up for them may not be exciting, but they are two guys you can really see a competitive team being interested in, right? Especially Ortega, like over the last year plus, like he hits righties. Yeah. Right. He's led off a lot. He's played a solid center field for the Cubs. Like that is something if you're a competitive team and you have trouble hitting right-handed pitching, he's a solid get, you know, same with Wisdom from the other side of the plate. Like if you need some pop, if your lineup is contact heavy and you need somebody who can come in and slug, like he's your guy, you know, he's solid on defense. Like, so I do expect teams to call about them. I'm just wondering if, you know, at some point, like having these depth guys who can get, you know, in this case, they're going to get more than this because of the state of the Cubs, but maybe in a competitive team, you know, 300, 400 plate appearances, something like that, that has value. And if you trade those guys, when you are ready to be competitive, you have to find that depth again. And as we often talk about, the Cubs have not done a great job of that over the years when they've had to go out and pay for that depth. They have not done well with that.
Depth on quotation marks. Corey.
That's what they wanted it to be.
Don't even start.
So that's kind of how I feel about that. Before we head into the break, we'll talk about, hopefully Ryan is able to join us, but we'll talk about Kyle Hendricks when we come back from our second break. I do just want to point out, I'm sure you want to point this out as well. 3-for-6, 2 runs for Nico Hoerner. In the game on Thursday night, he is now hitting .310 on the season with a .772 OPS. We've certainly talked about his defense. You know, I know you were pointing out the other day that he is the best defensive shortstop in the league.
Correct. And just, by a wide margin.
You know, this is now just multiple positions that he rates as an elite defender. And, you know, he is right now exactly the player that you would have dreamed him to be. right? Oh, yes. Like hitting 313. Like this is the type of bat that they were dreaming on, a contact heavy average guy, but that OPS is near 800 because he's added a little bit of slug, a little bit of oomph to his game.
Correct.
Just an incredible defender. This is really pleasant. I mean, look at Brendan's face right now. You're glowing, Brendan. You are glowing.
Thinking I'm like about blushing over here. I feel so good, Corey, to have Nico, you know, develop here, have that power. The contact, the zone contact rate over his hot stretcher is like 99%. I mean, like if you like baseball, if you like defense, if you like the sport, you like Nico Hoerner. Nico Hoerner is baseball, Corey.
Yeah, I agree with that. In his 8-game hitting streak now, he is 17 for 31, which is good for a .548 batting average.
That seems pretty good.
That'll play. That dog will hunt, let me tell you. that'll work. Yeah, it's really, really exciting to watch him develop. I always go back to something that Luke said in one of our preseason podcasts, and that was, how many questions for the Cubs would you have to be able to answer in the affirmative for this season to be a success? So in the, you know, the preseason, you're thinking about all of these different guys that you have, Steele, Thompson, Nico. We didn't know about Morel being this involved at the time, but Morel, Wisdom, Schwindel, et cetera, right? How many of those guys would have to be like a yes in the column? Yeah. They panned out for this season to be a success. I don't know that we all landed on an exact number, and I'm not sure what that number would be. That would depend on how they're going to handle the deadline and how aggressive they'll be in the offseason. But when you look at what we've seen, so in this series against the Reds that we're talking about tonight, you had two really nice starts from homegrown pitchers that are young and can be a part of your pitching staff for years to come. You have a shortstop playing the best defense in the league in the midst of an 8-game hitting streak, right? And an above league average hitter who's just doing it all, right? In Nico Hoerner. We talked about Christopher Morel earlier in the episode, a 23-year-old who's got a 130 WRC plus, rocketing 97 mile an hour throws from center field to gun guys down at the plate, to gun Tommy Pham down at the plate. Yes. Christopher Morel joining the exclusive company of John Lester in of guys who have thrown Tommy Pham out on the bases.
And good, and good nine spot hitters as well. Just happy.
Yes. So that all adds to, it's only, we're turning the clock to July very soon. Are they for sure yeses in the affirmatives? Not yet. No, right? You want to see more.
Yeah.
But that's four guys, like, that's a pretty significant thing if those are successes continuing like this by the end of the year.
Exactly. And before I do this break here, to kind of tie in that previous discussion, we do need to see them play more. And to your point, are they for sure things? We hope they are, but you have to be a realist, and there's possibility that they may not be, which makes potentially keeping Wisdom and Ortega all the more important. You just keep building upon potential depth pieces. And let's say in the unfortunate, at this point, I think rare scenario where some of those guys don't work out, then you have other options as soon as next year. That might outweigh the value you get back from a trade of Wisdom or Ortega.
Yeah.
Okay. So another quick break here from Corey, our sponsor, PointsBet. If you enjoy CHGO, and one way to help us continue to grow is to download that PointsBet app right now and use code CHGO when you sign up. Not only are you going to get two risk-free bets up to $2,000, but if you make a $50 or more first-time deposit, you will receive a free CHGO membership, which unlocks all of our web content, and you'll even get that free shirt of your choice from the CHGO locker. If you have any questions, you can always email pointsbet@allchgo.com. And we'll help you out. And in case you did miss it, online signup is available in Illinois. You can actually download the PointsBet app right now and register your account from start to finish, all from your phone. You'll be signing up at the fastest sports book, easier than ever, so you can start living your bet life in seconds. So what are you waiting for? Once the game starts, don't just bet, live your bet life with PointsBet. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700.
All right. So just one quick note before we talk about Kyle Hendricks. Ian Happ, 3 times on base on Thursday night. A really nice June, a slash line of 327, 417, 531. He had 3 homers, 9 doubles, a triple, and 11 RBIs with 13 walks in 27 games this month. Again, you know, another one. He's getting talked about as someone, you know, what are the Cubs going to do there? He would be an attractive get as a switch hitter for a contending team, but with that extra year of control, very, very valuable. But he is a guy who is putting it together at this level. He had a lot of questions, I think, coming into the year with such a kind of wild 2 halves that he had in 2021, one that was really good and one that was awful. And he has really shown us a lot in this season. So interesting to see what the Cubs do there. But in terms of sort of planting his flag in left field and kind of, you know, stating at least to the Cubs at the moment, like, I am one of these outfielders, that is a pretty clear yes at the moment.
Yeah, I think so. And he's similar to the discussion with Wilson, because both those guys have massively improved their contact rates. I don't know if there's been a conscious effort to do that for both of them, or it's just a natural byproduct of seeing more pitches or being more comfortable. But regardless, those are the numbers. And as we've talked about with the Wilson, maybe not wanting to have extended him in late 2021, the offseason, 2020, even 2 years back here, the same discussions were had about Ian Happ, because you did have some of that volatility. You did have some questions about whether he can have sustained success. And given the sample size we've seen now with the plate discipline and the contact rate, and again, just the eye test, when you watch these guys at the dish, they look so comfortable. Ian Happ is peppering the ball the other way for extra base hits in that left field Wrigley gap. They just look different. They look like they're seeing the ball way better. So trade deadline coming up. Will he get traded? Will he not get traded? It's all under the umbrella that this team has a path forward for competitiveness next season. It's right there, Corey. They have so much payroll flexibility. They do have controllable talent that can be supplemented with big-time players in the form of big-time free agents, both at the pitching level and at the positional level. They can do it. It's just a matter of, are they willing to accept some of the risk to do that? And this trade deadline may inform you what that is. And if they ultimately go out and they do trade Wilson and Ian Happ, God help us all. Honestly, God help us all, because that is a terrible sign. And that rebuild that they would not call it a rebuild is torn down for a development franchise. You're building a whole new thing. It's not even a rebuild. It's a new organization, Corey. So that can't happen. Simple as that.
Yeah. I mean, I just don't think that this team is as far off as some would suggest and as their record suggests. And I'm not here to blame the injuries and things like that. It certainly hasn't helped. But there is a lot of talent. There's a lot of good on this team. And as you said, Brendan, it will take significant additions. It will take maneuvering and taking some risks to extend guys and things like that. But the sort of rebuild, right, that has been suggested and that would be certainly hinted at or confirmed if you move some of these guys, I don't think it's necessary. You've already replenished the farm. The farm is going to be one of the best in the league when they finish this year and they do all these rankings again. The Brendan Davis thing is a huge bummer, obviously, for many, many reasons. But I just don't see the need for that. So
every season is sacred.
When you have some of these guys doing this, when you're seeing Christopher Morel, when you're seeing Ian Happ doing this, when you're seeing Wilson have the best season of his career, like, you do have to make some decisions. You have to be cognizant of the money and all of this stuff, right? We can't all sit here and complain about Jason Hayward's contract and then just start doling out all these contracts. They should spend the money. They have the money, but
yeah.
They give Jed a budget. So we do have to be smart about it, whether we like it or not. But supplement this roster, right? Supplement this roster so that you can compete in 2023 in a bad division. And then those waves of young guys come up and then you're a juggernaut. That's how it should work. Not tearing it all down to its base again, right? Yeah. It's not necessary. But anyway, we could go off the rails.
Story for GM. I can see the campaign already.
Hey, I tried, right? You know, I tried to do that before. Listen, midnight. The Yankees had Masahiro Tanaka for a long time. I take a lot of credit for that. All right, I was scouting those NPB games. That was all me.
Well, I was so depressed when it happened for the Cubs. So you caused me a lot of pain. Sorry.
Yeah. Hey, I was getting paid. But we do. I want to talk about Kyle Hendricks, and we do have our guy Ryan Herrera live from beautiful historic Wrigley Field. If he can get his mic working, we are checking on his mic, so hopefully we can get him in here. But I'll set the table with Kyle Hendricks, and then if Ryan's able to join, he can hop into that conversation with us. Another quality start, Brendan. So that's two in a row, six innings, six hits, two earned, one walk, and seven strikeouts. And, you know, again, what we saw on Thursday was what we've been looking for Kyle. And we talked with Ryan last Friday after that Cardinals series that, you know, this was, we can see it still in there, right? Vintage Kyle and his ability to be successful, limiting the walks, high strikeout total, able to go six plus and keep the runs low. And it's just about finding that consistency. And it appears that, you know, he's on a nice little run here.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, Kyle looked great. I'm excited to get Ryan on here to get his perspective. He was at the ballpark, as you said. And look at that. Look at that segue. Ryan. He's wearing a Hawaiian shirt. Look at him. This is a perfect segue. How you doing, Ryan?
Good. You guys hear me?
Yeah, we hear you perfectly. You good? Yeah, that's perfect. Yeah.
Right. We were just setting the table on another quality start from Kyle Hendricks.
Yeah. What'd you see, Ryan?
Another quality start. I mean, Ross kind of mentioned the sinker early on. You know, fastball command was mostly there. Kyle said he still had a couple bad pitches. That home run. I forgot what it was. Votto. Yeah. Votto.
He has his number.
Votto, I mean, go back to that four-game series of the deadline last year. Votto just has had the Cubs number for a long time. But, Hendricks, he mentioned just having the, a couple bad pitches here and there, but obviously another quality start. It's back-to-back quality starts. So he started the month not pitching for like 13 days because of fatigue and stuff like that. Now he ends the month with two, solid performances in a row. He says he's not completely there. And I think we can all agree that he's not back to, Kyle Hendricks level from 2 years ago, from 2016, whatever you want to say. Will he ever get there? We don't know, but at least these are two that he knows he can build off of and kind of, helps build his confidence back a little bit. So when he goes forward, these are stepping stones, I would say, just to kind of getting as close to that level as he can. Maybe he can't get to Cy Young caliber level anymore, but there's a point where he can get numbers that suggest he's feeling at his best.
Yeah, I mean, I do want to tease this because you've been working very hard on this story. You've been talking with Kyle a lot here recently, and talked with Daniel Moskos, and we've been working on this story. It's exciting. I think it gives insight on Kyle's thinking process. I'm excited to see you publish it soon, but it just illustrates that Kyle knows that he's not that vintage guy right now. And he knows the process that might need to occur for him to get maybe back to those 2016 numbers. And I do think as we talk about Kyle, even in the context of the trade deadline here, he's a very cerebral guy. He's very good at what he does. And you have to consider that when you determine in your mind, do I want to trade Kyle? And if there's a possibility that he can get back to those days, it's really important that we all consider that.
Yeah, no, I mean, you teased it, and Kyle, I guess just teasing it a little more, giving a little more insight into what we've been working on, Brendan, talking to Kyle, and he knows that he has to evolve as the game evolves. The game is different, 2014 is when he debuted. The game's already different. It's not even been a full decade. The game is different. So he knows that he has to evolve and adapt, the way things change, the way pitching changes, the way hitters attack pitchers, that everything's changing. He knows that he has to go with it. he mentioned the possibility of being traded, and he addressed that post game. And I just, you know, in the fact that he understands that it's a possibility, that he's not like blind or naive to the fact that that could happen. But he's said he's like, you know, committed to, you know, working with the young guys, watching the young guys succeed, you know, enjoying the time he has here, whether that time ends at the trade deadline this year, at the trade deadline next year, at the end of his contract, you know, just enjoying being here, you know, being in the moment, living in the moment, that kind of stuff, which is, you know, I don't really expect anything different from Kyle, for him to say anything different. But I mean, that's, you know, as far as the trade deadline and how that can affect him, I think you just see that it's not, like you mentioned him being cerebral. Like, he knows who he is and he knows what makes him good. Like, he's not just like good at what he does for the most part. Like, he knows why he's good. And I think that plays into that. But he's also knows that the situation and just being present in what he's doing. I think you see that from Wilson too. You see it from a lot of these guys, of just being not, you know, again, everyone's going to say it, the cliche, you know, controlling what you control. But Kyle, I think, is very good at that and doesn't really let that outside noise affect him.
I would really like to get to a point where the franchise legends that we have and some of the biggest performers in Cubs history don't have to answer these questions anymore. This is like 3 years of this, because it kind of started in 2020, right? When some of those guys were on their at the end of those contracts, and it carried into next year, and we're doing it again. Like, I could really live without that, right? Like, just once, you know, maybe like several years from now, we're talking about Kyle Hendricks retiring as a Cub and his looking back on his career and all the big games that he's pitched in and stuff. And Ryan can write that article and not talk about, you know, his demeanor when he's asked about being traded. I'm a little tired of that. I'm sure they are too.
Yeah, well, they are. I think we're even kind of tired of asking about it. I think everyone just is like, I think I just selfishly would rather write about a winner and write about someone who's buying at the trade deadline versus going up to, you know, Ian Happ or Wilson Contreras for the 100th time and asking him how he stays so calm when he's the subject of rampant trade speculation, right? Like, that's not fun for anyone, really. But I agree. Like, you know, the Cubs, you know, Jed Hoyer talks about this next great Cubs team, and that, at that point, the questions will be completely flipped. But that's kind of just the spot we're in right now.
Yeah, and even in that context, again, just to go back to, you know, you talking with Kyle, I was talking with Corey about this off air, and just seeing like the transcripts that you have from Kyle and these other guys, like they are talking in such great detail about their process. And it's also still quite remarkable how they can do that, be in that state of mind with also, you know, their livelihood situation in flux. He could be in a different city in the next month. And also, like, credit to you, Ryan, like, to be able to get all that in. No, seriously, you got to give yourself, you know, a pat on the back to get that much information about a sensitive topic. And this is not the trade deadline, but some of the struggles. Like, I think for me, if I were to ask those questions, I would not ask it like that. And I'd probably be kicked out and fired from the press box. So the fact that you've gotten so much information that I'm reading the transcript, I'm like smiling. I'm like texting Corey at 3 a.m. He's like, oh, like, I can't believe Brennan is doing this again. I'm excited. So, like, I just want to give credit for you.
We don't call him our guy, Ryan Herrera, for nothing, you know. Ryan, I'm curious. We're getting toward the hour here, so we do want to preview this Red Sox series coming up real quick. Mm-hmm. But did David Ross, you know, since I know he talked about, you know, Christopher Morel being that same guy and bringing that same energy even while he was going through that slump. Has he talked at all over the last couple nights about the success that he's having in the 9 spot? You know, I know Ross doesn't seem like the type of guy to pat himself on the back. It's only 2 games, but obviously that quick change has led to some pretty immediate, better results for Christopher Morel.
Yeah. I don't want, it's just kind of funny because Ross, you know, was kind of asked, like, are you going to take any credit for Morel's turnaround, moving him down? He's like, when pretty much is like when he starts doing that for us to call him out. Like that's what he wants. But no, I mean, yeah, he's not going to pat himself on the back, but I know he talked about yesterday the move to the nine hole, you know, kind of just with the slump that Morel had been on. And he was getting a hit basically every day, every game. So he still had a little bit in there, but just giving him, you know, putting him down, you know, maybe even taking an at bat away, maybe just, you know, giving him more opportunities to just be down the nine hole, like not leading off, not too much pressure, you know, finding that timing that had been working so well for the first like three and a half weeks. And that hadn't been, obviously the timing hadn't really been there the last 3 weeks, something like that, whatever the timing of this kind of stuff. I think it's like been like 23 or so games where that strikeout rate has been really high. Mm. And that was one of the things is just, you know, give him a spot where the pressure's a little off. I mean, obviously that nine hole, a lot of managers like to say it's kind of like a second leadoff spot nowadays, but it is, you know, being lower in the order, a little less pressure, but also just an opportunity to get that timing back, and you know, see the pitcher, see how he's pitching everyone else. Obviously helps too. You know, eight hitters ahead of him gives him a, you know, big chunk of like, hey, this is what the pitcher's doing right now. Yeah, just and then you see 5 for 5 today. You know, 3 singles, a home run, and a double. Like that, it's the timing. And again, like you said, Corey, it's 2 games, but like the timing was there today. The timing was there for Chris Morel. Hit that home run yesterday too. Whether this is like, oh, maybe Chris Morel needs to be in the nine hole. Maybe whether that's his spot or whether this is just kind of him building back up that confidence, and then Ross goes back to throwing him leadoff, which he did like him at for a long time there. I think this is just 2 really good games, and Ross acknowledges it. Everyone else acknowledges it. Like Ross kind of said the other day too, or I might have answered it earlier today while I've been here for a while. That you know, the small sample police, you kind of do this. Because it's hard to trust small samples. So even with Morel's 2 games, you know, small sample, but seeing him have more success the last couple of days is obviously a huge positive. And it's just about, you know, the things that he's been doing right, just continuing to do those and fixing and working on those other things that weren't working so well as he moves forward and tries to bust out of this, you know, that little stretch he'd been in for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, absolutely. Last, just a quick one, Ryan. Like we saw Seiya go 2 for 3 tonight in Iowa. Have they talked at all like how long they want him down there? He said he felt good. Is that kind of a get him a couple games? We want that to be quick, or do they have kind of a specific timeline in mind?
Yeah, I haven't really given a timeline. You know, obviously he's been out for a while, so not even just being in the swing, but game shape and kind of that, you know, conditioning, all that kind of stuff. I imagine, you know, Ross says that they're going to look at or kind of listen to Seiya and don't want to put a firm timetable on it because they want to get the kind of feedback from the coaches down there and the, you know, and from Seiya and from the trainers. I imagine it's probably going to be at least through the weekend. Whether it extends for like another series into next week, we'll you know, that remains to be seen. Whether he, you know, meets them in Milwaukee, or I don't remember what the weekend series is after that. That could be an option. No firm timetable on it, but I think just he's missed over a month now. Definitely want to take it easy, but also, you know, make sure he's getting that at bats and the confidence and all that good stuff.
Gotcha. All right. Well, that sounds good. So we will let you hop off and get home, and Brendan's just going to hit us with the probables. Will you be back at beautiful historic Wrigley Field to cover 2 historic teams this weekend?
Yeah. Yes, I will be back tomorrow and Saturday. So quick turnaround, you know, everyone talks about the players needing, you know, having that quick turnaround from night game to a day game, you know, hey, beat writers too, man. We grind doesn't stop. Yeah. I'll be here Friday, writers, Saturday.
The workers, et cetera. Yeah. So as always, thank you, Ryan. You can look for Ryan's work with some good stuff coming on Kyle Hendricks soon, of course, at allchgo.com. Talk to you soon, Ryan.
See you, Ryan. Thanks, guys.
All right, Corey, let's preview this upcoming
Red Sox
against the Red Sox, as you said. So this will be a quick preview. First game, Friday, your traditional 1:20 p.m. start time. Rich Hill, former Cub, pitching for the Red Sox. This season, he is 4-4 with a 4.09 ERA. Adrian Sampson, back on the mound for the Cubs, getting another shot in the rotation. He has no decision this year, but he does have a nice 1.69 ERA. On Saturday, we have Josh Winkowski pitching for the Red Sox. He's 3-1 with a 3.6 ERA. Alec Mills also getting a shot in the rotation here. Numbers on the season for him do not look good as I read this off my screen. He's 0-1 with a 9.87 ERA. On Sunday, another afternoon start time, 1:20 p.m., Red Sox have not announced a starter that game. So be tuned in for that. Keegan Thompson is pitching for the Cubs that day. He's 7-3 with a 3.34 ERA. That'll be fun. And then Saturday, I didn't say it, that's a night game, 6:15 p.m. Central. And the Red Sox are fun. It's always fun when you have like a traditional historical team come to Wrigley Field. This season, they're doing well. They're 43-33 in a playoff contentious spot. Unfortunately, the Cubs can't match that, but it still will be fun to see that history on display, Corey.
Yeah, it is a shame that these two teams are not both good at this exact moment. I went to Fenway when the Cubs were there in 2017. Chris Bryant hit that home run. That was very cool.
Yeah.
It's always cool when teams like this play, especially because they don't very often. Boston's in an interesting spot because they've turned their season around a bit, but they are, unfortunately for them, in a division with the Yankees, who are just sort of blowing past everybody. So that's kind of the state of things for them. Saturday nights at Wrigley Field, love those vibes. I love when they sneak those weekend night games in, not Sundays. Sundays don't count, but occasionally you get like a Saturday. Say that again.
Go to the game on Saturday.
I am not. I actually have a rather busy summer weekend, 4th of July weekend here in Chicago. I'm seeing My Morning Jacket on Saturday. Yeah. Sunday.
Podcast talking about his plans.
Our guy at CHGO, Kevin, will appreciate that mention. He's a big MMJ guy, celebrating my friend Joe's birthday on Sunday. So I am not going to be able to take in this historic series. But if you have the opportunity, Saturday nights or Friday nights at Wrigley Field are really cool, very special, because it's just not something that they do very often. As far as what we're looking for, I'm paying attention to Keegan Thompson. Want to see Christopher Morel continue this hot stretch. And I just am always dialed into what Keegan is doing, how he's doing it. And, you know, you've got some big hitters in this Boston lineup. So this should be a nice challenge for someone like Keegan, and see what he can do with that slider there. As always, tomorrow, Luke and Cody, we'll have you for pre and post game to start this Red Sox series. Brendan and I will be back with you after the game on Sunday to record just the podcast. So that'll drop late Sunday night, early Monday morning. And as we mentioned, make sure you are signed up as a member to access all of our guy Ryan Herrera's content over at allchgo.com. Again, him and Brendan teaming up on some really good stuff for Kyle Hendricks. When Brendan says that he was texting me at 3 a.m, giddy about the quotes and conversation that Ryan was having with Kyle Hendricks and pitch design coach Daniel Moskos, he wasn't kidding. These are real text messages that I received as I'm trying to go to sleep.
Yeah, you just left me.
So, yeah.
As you usually do, that's okay. It's a different conversation.
I got to leave you wanting more. But be sure to sign up at allchgo.com. Thank you to everyone who joined us on YouTube live. Thank you also if you're listening on the podcast feed. Thank you for your support of everything going on at CHGO and the CHGO Cubs podcast. Thank you to our wonderful producer, Joey, for staying up late with us tonight. We will talk to you again on Sunday, Luke and Cody, on Friday ahead of the Boston series. Thanks again. We will talk to you soon. And as always, go Cubs.